This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2189. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition recorded May 4th, Afghanistan, Antarctica, Armenia, Australia, Bolivia, Canada, Colombia, Cuba, Europe, Germany, India, Jordan, Korea, North and South, New Zealand, Oklahoma, Russia, Sudan, Switzerland, Turkey, Ukraine, UAE, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Taliban closes Afghan women-run radio station for playing music. Sadai Banavan station head denies any violation, saying there was no need for the closure and calling it a conspiracy. That's an Al Jazeera headline from April 3rd via DX fanzine. Sadai Banavan, which means women's voice in Dari, is Afghanistan's only women-run station, started 10 years ago with 8 staff, 6 of them female. Moizuddin Ahmadi, the director for information and culture in the province of Badakhshan, said the station violated laws and regulations of the Islamic Emirate several times by broadcasting songs and music during Ramadan and was shuttered because of the breach. He said, if this station accepts the policy of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan and gives a guarantee it will not repeat such a thing again, we will allow it to operate again. What was the frequency? Not mentioned. Probably FM, but I do not find it in the handbook. As for shortwave broadcasts into Afghanistan, there is Radio Afghanistan International, nominal 7600 kHz. Tony Rogers in the British DX Club says they have 2 different transmitters, switching from one to the other at 16 UT with an overlap. Presumably the first one until then is via Tashkent, Uzbekistan, slightly low on 7599.9, and then to Yerevan, Armenia, closer to 7600. Supposedly operating 24 hours. So they must make another frequency switch in the night. Using a different remote receiver, Wolfgang Büschel says on May 2nd, the switch occurred at midnight 52 UT when there was an overlap. First on 7599.994 via Armenia, and then on 7599.886 via Uzbekistan. While both were on, there was a 108 Hz buzz audio QRM heterodyne whistle signal. Of course, Radio Afghanistan International is a clandestine service based in London. LRA 36 Antarctica was on the air again Saturday, April 29th, on 15475.98, reduced carrier USB. After some on and off testing, they began broadcasting at 20:05. Manuel Menes in Spain was also listening, and got the identity of one of the speakers among the new 5-woman crew, Maria Victoria Menendez, along with the usual male voice Juan Benavente. It seems that the program this year will be titled Ecos de la Antártida. About Armenia, from Alexander Miatlikov in MW List, April 17th via the Arctic Radio Club. Transworld Radio discontinued broadcast in Russian and Uzbek on 864 kHz. The Russian program was there for more than 20 years, especially for people in Central Asia. He says the current schedule for 864 from Armenia is 1430 to 1530 RFERL, Radio Svoboda, in Russian, off until 1705 when they play the TWR interval signal, and 1710 in Turkmen, 1725 in Kazakh, and 1740 to 1755 in Karakalpak, all of them daily. Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil reports on 5055, presumably Radio 4KZ in Queensland, Australia. April 24th, he had a poor signal at 0907 to 0933, seemingly in English. About Bolivia, Marcos Cox in Chile says Radio Mosok Chaski is apparently off the air from 3310 at 0110 UT May 3rd. I tried to listen to them, but no signal. Nor from an Argentine remote receiver. In Brazil, Paraguay, or Colombia, no signal present, but their web stream and Facebook stream were working. Then on May 4th, Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil checked for it as well on 3310, but no signal between 09 and 10 UT. Radio Mosochowski, Cochabamba, has often been reported by Robert Wilkner on the Mosquito Coast of South Florida at Pompano Beach. The last report from him in Nassau was on April 14th, heard at 2340 in Quechua to 2348, a fair signal at best. A few comments from a long opinion piece by John Cairns, which appeared in Sask Today, Regina, April 22nd, via Sven Martinson in the Arctic Radio Club. Imagine my horror when I heard about how car manufacturers are planning to phase out AM from their car radios and their new models, in particular their electric vehicles. The excuse we are getting is that the electricity interferes with AM, but manufacturers really want to offer more proprietary services where they own the technology and can force you to pay to listen to the radio. I'm outraged by this prospect. And he goes on to lament, however, how AM programming has evolved in the U.S. and Canada. You even have AM stations that are mailing it in with all comedy, 24/7. I kid you not, this joke of a format is for real in Canada's major cities like Calgary, Vancouver, and Winnipeg. Comedians' stand-up routines are played all day and night, a total waste of 50,000 watts that could be better used in your Tesla. April 29th at 0635, I had wideband DRM-like noise centered on 7570, where it's also audible under one of WRMI's strongest frequencies, which is aimed this way. It ranged from 7554 to 7586 approximately. It didn't sound very loud, but 10 over 9. We suspect that was CGA 984, the HF trading station from Ontario, which I mentioned 2 weeks ago, with its lowest frequency of 9 being 7570 from Essex County near Detroit, Michigan. From Colombia, the reactivated Al Caravan radio continues to be well heard, slightly below 5910. Lucio Otavio Bobovic in Brazil reports it April 24th, before and after 09UT, with Latin music selections, Cuban style, and some religious talks. He says, best signal so far, they must have done something to be so strong. Ron Howard in California agrees, it seems to be getting better day by day, still adjusting the transmitter and antenna, perhaps, to produce the best signal possible. He heard it April 30th at 0527 to 0540 with some very pleasant Latin American music. By the way, the sibling station La Voz de Tu Conciencia not heard on 6010. Un soon received a reply from QSL manager Rafael Rodriguez R. 6010 had a problem in the final adjustments, now waiting for a circuit to put it on the air again. But that's not all from Colombia. That occasional pirate was reported again. Organización Radial El Prado, Lucas Pandura in BC, I guess using a remote, heard it at 2218 UT, April 29th, with distorted Colombian music on 6016.67 AM. Also in BC, Baltzamonov agreed at 0442, weak music on 6016.675, too weak to identify, but definitely there, a first for me. Lucas replies they went off the air around midnight 40, but I guess they came back with a test. Only a carrier detectable. At 0510, no audio in AM, and the carrier went off the air. Ron Howard in California was also monitoring it on 6016.67. April 30th from 0500 with LA Songs, and then the Choral National Anthem off the air at 0505. So they may be a pirate, but they're acting like a real station. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, for example, this week. 12200, the second harmonic of 6100 I heard, at 0710 UT, April 28th. It was 10 over 9 in English. However, the English modulation was audible only in AM mode. In sideband, there was just a screeching sound, similar to what was on 6100 with a weaker signal. Both went off the air abruptly at 0712. At another English frequency where there's not supposed to be any, 11670, May 3rd at 0619, RHC, was only heard here. All the 6 MHz channels were off the air, but this was 20 over 9, accompanied by spurs about plus and minus 3 kHz. In the British DS Club, Paul Flanagan reports Radio Zanzibar on 6205 at 19 UT, April 29th, with African and Arabic music and an ID in German, news in German on the hour. Yes, we're not yet at the end of the alphabet, and in fact, this Radio Zanzibar is a Euro pirate. But Alan Pennington is hearing a different station on 6205 laser hot hints, such as at 0845. Via Hardcore DX, Roberta Spogarelis of the European Parliament, a lecturer and administrator of the Directorate General for Communication, notifies us just in time of some special broadcasts. It's called Europarl Radio. It's a multilingual Europe Day show from Brussels and Strasbourg on this schedule, Saturday 6 May and Saturday 13 May at 09 to 10 UT, and then Tuesday 9 May at 17 to 18 via Channel 292 in Germany on 6070 and 9670, both 10 kilowatts. This is a pilot project. Listener feedback will facilitate repetition in the future, so reports are wanted. The station will issue separate EQSLs for each program. Must cover at least 15 minutes with signal quality. Web SDRs are accepted. Send to qsl at europarl.europa.eu. On May 3rd, Alokesh Gupta and Joe Jacob at DX India report that All India Radio has issued an edict that henceforth it shall be called Akashvani, even in English.
This is Akashvani, the news read by Saira Bujtaba. The political atmosphere in Karnataka ahead of the May 10 assembly election has heated up.
This led to a lot of discussion even inside India about whether this is an appropriate change. All India Radio might be looked upon in English as a colonial vestige name. Akashvani, of course, has already been its ID in Hindi, and no doubt in many of the other languages of India. But what does the word mean? Doug White finds a Google translation as oracle. Zaharias Lianga says it could be radio apocalypse or radio voice from the sky. And someone named Sastri on DX India says, Akashavani is a Sanskrit word translatable as voice of the sky. And a story in thewire.in says, the word Akashavani was a poetic translation of All India Radio, first coined by Nobel laureate Rabindranath Tagore in 1939. In his DX fanzine, Antonello Napolitano of Taranto, Italia, explains how he's finally been able to QSL Radio Jordan. He tried again and again in the past when it was on shortwave, but never got a reply. Finally, after 30 years, he located the name of their engineering director at JRTV and his email address, set off a new report for medium wave 612 kHz, and got a full data PDF letter reply in 2 days. Mohammed Biok is the name of the person, and his email address is, now use it sparingly, m.byouk@jrtv.gov.jo. Ricky Leong in Alberta notes a problem at Voice of Korea, North that is. Sometime after 12:45 May 4th, they started putting out nothing but buzzing on many frequencies, 11710, 11735, 13580, and 13650. Before that, all the various services had very distorted, overdriven audio, but otherwise excellent reception. Closer to 13UT, I found 9435 also with the buzzing sound, says Ricky. Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard says the last day on 6045 for Voice of Freedom, South North Korea, at 1359 UT, was May 1st, and there was no jamming. Then on May 2nd, first day back on the alternate frequency, 5920 at 0915, no jamming yet. But then Voice of Freedom was mixing badly with Shokaze on 5920 from 13 to 14, making a royal mess. And on Wednesday, May 3rd, Shokaze in its weekly English broadcast, in the middle of it at 1330 UT, he said good reception on 6090, but poorly heard on parallel 5920, clashing with Voice of Freedom, and new North Korean white noise jamming, super jamming. This jamming is not the former pulsating noise jamming. Today, VOF was very poor, unusable due to the more effective jamming, an unfortunate development. Of course, Shokaze in English is known as Seabreeze from Japan. Via International Vacuum, Internet, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 2189. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Jack Amelar in Lowell, Michigan, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. And he says, to keep World of Radio on the air, thanks for what you do. One may also contribute via check or money order on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Radio New Zealand Pacific normally has a very good signal way over here after 06UT on 13840, but was missing on April 30th. I soon found they had changed frequency abruptly to 11725. And the new schedule now shows that's on the air all the way from 06 until 13UT, more or less, preceded by 15720 and followed by 7440. Several more alternative frequencies are registered available between 07 and 13UT, 5945, 7245, 7425, and 9700, as Ricky Leong points out from HFCC. He says when they actually choose to move is almost always a surprise. Oklahoma's far-right governor, Kevin Stitt, is pushing to eliminate the Oklahoma Educational Television Authority, alleging that it is indoctrinating children. He vetoed a relatively routine bill that would continue OETA's operations through 2026. Unless two-thirds of the members of the House and Senate, Republican-dominated, join together to override the governor's veto, OETA will cease operating this year. Of course, OETA provides PBS to Oklahoma. More about this in the Tulsa World of April 28th. In DX fanzine, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria reports, the so-called Radio Lyube playing nonstop the Soviet anthem in disco style, heard on April 7th at 05 to 510 UT on 9310.3, parallel 7032.3, and 6828.3 all USB. Editor Antonello Napolitano explains, Lyube is the name of a Russian rock band from Liubertsy. Music is a mixture of several genres, with influences from both Russian folk music, rock, Russian chanson, and Soviet military songs. The band, founded in 1989, have released 16 albums. Lyube's producer and main songwriter is Igor Matviyenko. So, this version of Russia's national anthem is not a funny song. Happy Radio Day in Russia, Rusty X reports. On May 7, 1895, at a meeting of the Russian Physical and Chemical Society, physicist Alexander Stepanovich Popov made a presentation demonstrating the world's first radio receiver he had created. Radio Day is a professional holiday for workers of television, radio broadcasting, postal workers, signalmen, shortwave radio amateurs, all those who promptly inform about the most important events taking place in the country and the world are united on radio waves by human deeds, thoughts, and souls. Happy Radio Day! Chris Greenway in the UK says, most or all radio stations in Khartoum, Sudan, have reportedly been off the air since the fighting started on 15 April. BBC monitoring observed state radio's main channel suddenly go silent on satellite at 2217 UT on that date. But Saudi Arabia's Al Arabiya TV now says AM 639 kHz has resumed transmissions, according to a tweet. Arthur Posner points out that Oman is using 639, 24 hours a day, 100 kilowatts, versus Sudan at just 10 kilowatts. Kai Ludwig replies, the tweet from Al Arabiya journalist quotes an army source, so this needs independent confirmation. And I would not be surprised at all if a larger transmitter in Oman has been moved to 639, recently vacated by the BBC. In the British DX Club, Simon Hicks passes on some sad news from Bob Zanotti's Switzerland in Sound FB page. Mike McMahon, the former head of SRI English, has died in Bern. He was 84. Bob Zanotti says he hired me in March 1970. My boss for more than 25 years, a top professional, high standards, but he was a good and fair boss. He taught me a lot. A BBC World Service producer once told me, SRI may be a relatively small station, but you have a very big sound. That is Mike McMahon's legacy. Mike, thank you and rest in peace, says Bob Zanotti. Some unusual things one may learn about by listening to the Voice of Turkey, if it's on the air, in English to North America at 22 to 23 UT on 11785 during the past week. There was a Healing Spring program about methods to combat dandruff, perhaps a first in the history of international shortwave broadcasting, or about a bread from Trabzon in the portion called Turkey's Geomarked Products. I wonder if they're trying to say geomarketed, as in exported. And another one about Melissa tea, I guess they mean with honey. In medium wave news, RPV of the British GX Club reports Radio Ukraine. News in English is heard on 1386 kHz via Lithuania at midnight to midnight 7 variable UT daily. Some days followed by 15 minutes of discussion in English. Press release from BBC World Service says, we're launching an emergency pop-up radio service for Sudan. The initial broadcast Tuesday, May 2nd at 15 to 1530 UT on 15310, in Arabic, of course, and to be followed by another one in the local mornings at 07 to 730 on 21510. No sites given, but Alan Pennington says they are UAE, 250 kilowatts at 250 degrees. I could not hear the first broadcast direct, but it was audible via remote in South Africa, but off frequency by a significant amount, May 3rd at 1458, the next day, 15310.13 variable. Nicely correlating with such off-frequenciness about the other service from Chuck Albertson in Seattle, who's listening via remote in Kuwait. BBC Arabic to Sudan, refugees on 21510.15 at 0702, May 3rd. Laser Soul Hits, an internet station and longtime affiliate of World of Radio, is closing. Station operator Gary Drew tells us, due to life-changing circumstances, I've decided to close the Laser Soul Hits after just about 6 years. I'll no longer be able to run LSH in the way I would like going forward due to lack of time, closing it on Friday, 16 June, or maybe before. He says it's been a pleasure hosting World of Radio overnight all these years, and if I decide to start a new radio project, I would be happy to sponsor World of Radio once again. And news from another of our affiliates, Unique Radio in New South Wales, Australia, which has ceased streaming and shortwave broadcasting due to some security issues experienced. They refer listeners to podcasts of individual programs such as ours. It had been on 5035 USB and perhaps will resume. Let's hope so. In case you're hearing this online just in time, Zaharis Yangas in Greece says his Malaysian music program, Dangdut and Beyond, is 1 hour long on UT Friday, May 5th at 0300 on Radio Angela 5130. At least two U.S. shortwave stations appear to be silent. At least I never hear them when I check at random times when they are supposed to be on the air. 9275 WMLK in Pennsylvania and 9975 KVOH in California. I wonder if these are ever on the air anymore. In ABDX on May 3rd, Mauno Ritola of WRTH says two Miami stations are simulcasting, WRHC 1560 and WWFE 670, apparently 100% as La Nueva Poderosa. I previously mentioned the Library of Congress Radio Preservation Task Force 2023 conference, which took place the last weekend in April. Now we have a report about it from Larry Will. I was invited by David Gorin, curator of the Brooklyn Pirate Radio Sound Map, to participate on a panel April 27th at the conference in Washington, D.C. A group seeking to support collaborations between faculty researchers and archivists toward the preservation of radio history. The session was entitled Pirate, Micro, Free, and Ephemeral, Documenting and Preserving the Unlicensed Side of the Dial. The forum was described as follows. Unlicensed broadcasting has been a part of radio's global history wherever and whenever regulatory licensing systems have been established. But this history has often been overlooked, discounted, or driven underground owing to the clandestine and irregular nature of these stations, as well as disdain from the established radio industry and punitive enforcement from government agencies. The panel is composed of archivists, scholars, historians, and journalists who will consider the myriad social, cultural, and political contexts in which pirate radio stations operate, the diverse content that they generate in the U.S. and abroad, and the challenges of documenting their history and preserving their recordings. Larry says, I presented an overview of the history and current state of free radio broadcasting in North America and my activities as the archivist for WBCQ and its deep free radio history. The other panel members were Eddie Bohan, curator of the Irish Pirate Radio Archive, Larissa Kingston Mann, Temple University, and Luke Owen of Death Is Not the End. Other forums discussed the many facets of unlicensed broadcasting. Here's a primary link for the Library of Congress Radio Preservation Task Force, radiopreservation.org. And you may also find, via that link, a report on this conference of 2023. Larry Will of Mount Airy, Maryland, concludes his report on this to the World of Radio Group. This was an excellent conference, and the Radio Preservation Task Force is an organization worthy of support from the free radio community. Many thanks to David Gorin for arranging this session and inviting me to participate. Mike Terry forwards an article from Radio World of April 27th by Randy J. Stein, NASBA on the loss of AM in cars. 1,300 AM stations could be left in the dark. The National Alliance of State Broadcasters Association, NASBA, is reporting insights it discovered after polling AM stations about the removal of over-the-air AM in new cars. Data from more than 1,000 AM stations shows many do not have an FM translator and or do not stream their signals. The group is hoping to use the information to rally proponents of AM to help convince companies like Ford, Mazda, BMW, and others to keep reception of AM in their new vehicles. More than 4,000 AM stations in the U.S. are at risk. Automakers contend AM radio programming is often available through other means in the car, such as FM translators, streaming apps, and HD radio side channels. But while upwards of 70% of responding stations have FM translators, NASBA says hundreds of stations are without a home on FM. Extrapolating that percentage to the 4,475 licensed AM stations in the U.S. means that 1,300 stations could be left in the dark. Of the roughly 725 stations indicated they did have an FM translator, less than 20% have an FM signal coverage area that is equal to or greater than its AM counterpart. The potential loss of AM in autos has motivated the radio industry to go on the offensive, emphasizing the value of AM radio content and its critical role in emergency alerting. 99% of respondents to the survey say they participate in the emergency alert system. 8 in 10 of the radio stations responding listed their level of concern as 10 out of 10 when it comes to AM being eliminated in the car. In the British DX Club, Tony Rogers updates on Radio Vanuatu. It had been on 5040, but as of April 30th, between 1830 and 1958 UT on 3945. And from 20 to 07 UT, rounded off, 7260. We hear it here with a poor signal. And then from 07 to 09 on 3945. And that's the one that puts out harmonics. On 7890, a good signal often on 11835. And Ron Howard in California has even heard the fourth harmonic on 15780. Propagation outlook from SWPC. ANKNC peaking at 12 and 4 on May 6th, 20 and 4 on May 24th, when there will be a G1 minor geomagnetic storm. Solar flux rising from 135 May 7th to a peak of 160 from May 12th to 15th, and down to 140 by May 22nd. And so concludes World of Radio 2189. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week as I conclude with a standard disclaimer.